making a song out of it, yeah, talking about I'm happy, and but we got a reason why we sing.
Yeah.
We know what we do when we're happy. When we're happy, say, I sing,
yeah,
because I'm happy.
Yeah.
I sing because I'm free.
Yeah.
His eyes are on the sparrow.
Yeah.
I know he watches me. Isn't that all right?
Right.
He's doing an awesome job. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. 11th chapter, we'll begin our reading at the 23rd verse. While you're getting that, giving unto God the Father, to Jesus, the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us,
mm-hmm.
The shepherd of this house, our own pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, go on and on without him. About your first lady, only lady, Stinger. Amen. To our sister pastor from Smith, to our visiting moderator, Smith. Amen. You got Smith in the house.
Yes, sir.
King Smith, that is.
Yes, sir.
To all the philosophical leaders. Grace D.I. and those who are in the congregation, to our deacons, to our deaconess, to our trustees, to the musicians. To all of you guys, truly, it's so good to be here with you. To my lovely wife of 20-some years. 27, 28, it's so much fun. I just lose count. Seems like it's been that long. Amen. To my wonderful son, Tyler, you know, the best is yet to come. Amen. It's good to be here with you on today and to receive a word from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 23rd to 25th verse. And I'm reading to you from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed,
mm-hmm.
he took bread.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat.
Yes,
this is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
Yes,
and after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we come to tell you thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
But just being God and God all by
yes,
yourself.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for this moment to receive a word from you.
Thank you,
Lord, I realize I'm just a messenger standing in need of your word.
Yes.
But you said you would send forth your word into the earth, would not return unto you void.
Yes,
as you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see.
Yes,
our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand.
Then
I ask you, Lord, to hide me so deep within the purpose of your cross or behind it, that none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. As you're resting on your seat, if you would turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor,
remember me.
Remember me.
Turn to the other neighbor and tell the neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
remember me.
Remember.
Now, y'all go ahead and say to each other, what your name is?
Remember.
Some of you all said that to somebody you don't even know. You don't know somebody. You're at church. Amen.
Amen.
Remember me. That's the topic. There's two words. Remember me. It's kind of fitting because of the season we happen to be in. But we're in the Memorial Day is on Monday. We'll get to that in a minute. But I've already started my celebration. And I was over to someone's house. I won't divulge who. But
yes,
they were trying to kill not just me, but several other members here in the church.
Yes, sir.
I mean, we were full and eating so much food. And then they started bringing out more containers.
Yes, sir.
We're not talking small containers. If you're hungry, I'm just sorry. Deal with it. They brought five fish to the table.
Yes, sir.
And started naming the type of fish it was.
Yes, they did.
We had already eaten. And then they brought, you know, seafood salad to the table.
Yes, sir.
And when we thought we were done, already been over, ready to, you know, call it a life, they brought dessert.
Yes, sir.
Anybody having that experience besides me? But somehow we made it here today.
Yes, sir.
And I see people, I'm checking some folks to make sure that they don't sleep. Because some of us ate more than others.
Oh.
Remember? That would be me. I wanted to be remembered by my y'all thought I was talking about denominator. Y'all wrong for that. Remember me. This passage of Scripture, Memorial Day and Labor Day, they are bookend holidays marking the beginning and the ending of the summer holiday in the United States.
Mm.
These three-day weekends traditionally are times of celebration and family items.
Mm-hmm.
Hot dogs and hamburgers and french fries, maybe, but really ribs. We're talking about ribs.
Yes,
really.
We're
really talking about ribs. Barbecue ribs, not
just
any kind of ribs. We're talking cakes and pies and salad. Need I go on and greens and cornbread? I'm talking about some of the stuff we had on yesterday and cabbage and corn and macaroni and cheese. Anybody hungry in the house? I'm not because I'm still full from yesterday. So I'll keep on talking about. We celebrate in most states on the last day of Monday, and Memorial Day is the last day in May. It's a time to remember our U.S. men and women who have lost their lives for their country. Now, when this originally originated, it was known as Decorations Day. Mm-hmm. It was established in 1868 to commemorate the dead from the Civil War, but over the years, it's come to commemorate all those U.S. men and women who were killed and are missing in action.
Right.
Amen, which is worthwhile. And I noticed earlier, we had our veterans to stand, kind of throw my stomach, but we got a Purple Heart member in among us, and we have other vets who are here, and we want to say thank you for your service.
Amen.
Oftentimes, we as Christians, we get very holy while we sit on the shoulders of those who protect us and give us a lot of freedom that we experience.
Yeah.
And we tell them, you're wrong for doing things, but if it wasn't for them, we would not be in the free country we're in right now. So again, thank you for your service. Memorial Day is just one of the many days, however, where we set aside to remember a person or event. Days like Independence Day, the 4th of July, where we commemorate the adoption of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Juneteenth, some of you know what Juneteenth is?
No.
That's June 19th. That's the oldest known commemoration of the ending of slavery.
Yeah.
Columbus Day, where we commemorate the landing of Columbus in the Bahamas in 1492. Martin Luther King Day on January the 15th, where we celebrate his birthday. But then we have Christmas, the Christian Day, where we celebrate Christ's birthday. And you know Easter, where we eat eggs, which I don't know how that connects to, but anyway, that's Easter, where we commemorate Christ's resurrection.
Yes.
History is filled with countless men and women, boys and girls, who have stamped and carved their names in time with the motivation to be remembered. Everybody wants to be remembered. Bourgeois and proletariat, abolitionists and slaves, lords and serfs, employees and employers, landlords and peasants, artists and musicians, doctors and lawyers, teachers and preachers, presidents and entrepreneurs, princes and paupers have all sought to be remembered.
Yes, sir.
Question for you, we are no different, are we, than they? We too would like to be remembered. We have gone out of our way, like our predecessors, to ensure that folks remember. We try to make that right first impression. Am I right about it?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you know how it is when you want to meet somebody. Anybody been on a blind date? I'm not talking about that you couldn't see when you went on the date. Anybody, you've gone to a new on the job or went to an interview or had an experience where you had to make that right first, or maybe you came to church, knocked on the door because you hadn't been in a while. Nobody here, just checking. You try to make that right first impression. You get your hair, I think we call it did. I almost said done. Correct me, because I want to make you get your hair did and your clothes reflect. And you try to put on the right clothes. And we even change our clothes to fit the trends of the time. We walk a certain way. We talk a certain way. We our mannerism, we try to assimilate to try to make that right first impression. The problem is people have lost themselves in trying to make an impression. We get so busy caught up trying to be that thing or that person that we forget who we really are.
Yeah.
See, some of you know what a Christian is, and you know exactly what it's supposed to look like. And you try to put on the impression like what you act not here. I'm saying when I say some of you, I mean the general some of you.
Yeah.
Some people, let's do it that way. Some people, they try to act like Christians. You know, you know how a Christian act. And my son, Tyler, he's here so I can talk about it. He came one day, and they were having a conversation, and he said, he's in my household, he said to me, that he had a friend of his who, he said, he was acting black. I said, him, what does black act like? Because based on his definition, I don't know if I like what the description, because I said, but I'm black. I don't act like that. So I'm saying we sometimes find ourselves trying to define what something looks like. And so oftentimes we try to make out what Christianity looks like.
Yeah.
And we act like Christians. You know how Christians act. You know what they do? They dress up on Sunday.
Yeah.
you're not a Christian if you don't. What I'm saying is that's how we get caught up. We get caught up on this perception of what Christianity. You don't put on a tie and you're a man or a suit on Sunday, then you there's something wrong with your...
All right.
You know, they walk a certain way. They're very pious. They're right on Sunday. I keep referring to Sunday. And I don't know what night you have Bible study at different churches, but over here on Thursday night, those who do show up, they do it on Thursday night. So if you know what that, but I don't know about, I'm not sure what's happening on Monday Wednesday. Through two Wednesdays, and then there's Friday and Saturday.
Yes,
but we're good on at least two. Not full days, but portions of those days.
Yeah.
And it's about acting like what Christianity is. But we shouldn't be in the business of acting.
Mm-hmm. All right.
we should be. You understand? People have lost themselves by trying to get others to remember them by faking it until they make it. Trying to please everybody else. Look at what Acts said, Acts 17, chapter 6. We're trying to please everybody. Acts 17, chapter 22, verse. Paul said, I stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that you are, in all things, you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare unto you. Paul had to say, you're trying to capture everybody. Yeah. And you don't want to miss anybody, so you've actually built up an inscription to an unknown God. Yeah. So since you were smart enough or not smart enough to build it up, let me explain to you who this unknown God is. Yeah. But sometimes we get so caught up trying to please everybody, doing everything that we think is right.
That's right.
Somebody sang a song, burn it down, Lord, burn them down. Since I laid my burden down, instead we just start picking our burdens up because we don't know how we get so caught up and we're burdened by our Christianity. Yeah. It was never meant to be a burden.
That's right.
It was never meant to be a burden. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. But you all that burden me, we get burdened down. If we would but do what Jesus said in Matthew 6, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't seek to know what Ricky wants you to do or what someone else wants you. Seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. And he said, all these things will be added unto you. Church, we must realize that we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And others have died before us, and they died in faith. And life is short. We got to realize life is short. Death is definite. And those who want to be remembered often, they have to die too. So we cannot attach our desires, our wishes to have someone remember us to somebody who needs to be remembered. You follow me? Because just as sure enough as you have to go the way of death, I have to go the way of death. James said in 14, he said, wherefore we know that what shall be on tomorrow? For what is life? It's even a vapor that appeared for a short time and then it vanished away. The preacher said in Ecclesiastes 1 and 3, he said, for what is profit of man if he labor for all he's done on the sun? One generation passes away and another generation, but the earth remains. So you want to be popular. And you try to connect yourself and be that person. Young people, I'm talking to you today. You try to, be that. I want to be the one. Grown folks, I'm talking to you too. I want to be popular and everybody know my name. But I hear Jesus said in Matthew 8 chapter and 36 verse, but what shall a profit man if he gain the whole world? And lose his own soul. So what is the business of popularity? If you lose, if you gain everybody, if you get that falling, let's talk about riches. You want to be rich? I don't mind having a little bit of money. I don't have my have a little bit of change. I don't go. You ought to get that change. If you don't want that change, you can get that change to me.
Yes, sir.
James 10:1-10 says, let the rich rejoice that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no longer risen with burning heat, and it withereth the grass, and the flower that falleth thereof. The grace of the fashion of it shall perish. So shall it be with the rich man that falleth in his way. It doesn't matter how much you have here. It's going to pass.
That's right. Amen.
You cannot get to the pearly gate and negotiate your way in based on what you have. If you put your confidence in a legacy that's built on popularity that passes, or present material possessions that fade or rust or canker, you will ultimately find that death is not a period that ends this great sentence of life, but comes with punctuation to loftier significance. You will find that death is more universal than life, for everyone must die, but not everybody lives.
Yes, ma'am.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes,
everybody got to die.
Yes,
but not everybody gets to live.
Uh-huh.
If you don't know who Jesus is, you don't know what life is.
Yes,
God come that they may have life, and they have it more abundantly. If you don't know who Jesus is, you're just existing. I like to do the sermon, different sermon. I like to call it the walking dead. You just part of the walking dead. They made a movie about it, didn't they? Might I suggest a paradigm shift? If you want to be remembered, maybe you should invest your impression in someone who's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
Someone who's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Yes,
Matthew said in the 10th chapter and 32nd verse, therefore shall we confess before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
You got to understand, if you don't confess Christ, makes you think he's going to confess you?
Yes, sir.
So if we want to make an impression, let's go for something more permanent or someone more permanent. Try to make an impression on Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're saying that might be hard because we never get away from Jesus. See, you can fool me some of the time, all the time, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't fool God anytime.
Yes,
God says, I never, in every place, beholding both the good and the evil. He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh be corrupt. He that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not.
Yeah.
If you're about the business of doing good and trying to be remembered by Christ and not by somebody else, then what you do will last.
All right. Yeah. All right.
But someone's thinking, somebody made the work I've done. Speak for me. If you put your investment in something that matters, then all of a sudden you're in a position to be remembered by someone that matters.
Yes,
in our text this morning, we find Jesus sharing and telling his disciples to eat and drink in remembrance of him.
Yeah.
I think this is significant because he expresses, this passage expresses the whole design of the commemoration order. It's a simple memorial, remember, designed to recall in a striking, in a very impressive manner, the memory of our Redeemer who lived and died and was bruised on our behalf.
Yes.
It does this by a tender appeal to our senses, the exhibition of broken bread and by the wine. When we think about this service that we had it on last Sunday called communion, it's about bringing Christ's life back and his death back in remembrance to us. See, because we are prone to forget.
Yes, sir.
Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Man is prone to forget. We forget easy stuff. We forget history that we forget stuff we were a part of. Sometimes, you know, as a baby, if you do something to someone that's extremely traumatic, studies show that they will forget it.
Yeah.
So if it happens when you're a baby and it's extremely traumatic, I would call someone, but I don't want to scare anybody. When it happens, they forget it over time. Women who have children, y'all know it because y'all immediately after y'all have one, y'all want to have another one. that's got to be a good example of that. So sometimes when we have those experiences, to be able to forget those things, we forget simple stuff. We forget stuff we've been a part of, because sometimes we do stuff we just don't really forget. We just want to act as if we forget. We forget our history. How many of you remember? If we could but remember what we've gone through to get to where we are.
Oh, my Lord.
If our young youth group that I'm working with, if they can remember the history, if they can somehow connect to the history, our legacy, if they can really understand what it took for us to get here, we'd be in a different place today.
Amen.
But too often we find ourselves in the place where we are, and that's how we, and that's where we are. We got here on the shoulders and backs of so many more.
Come on.
We are here enjoying freedom for those who have died in war that we can't even pronounce.
Yeah.
We don't know the date, the time, nor the place, nor the condition, but they fought so that we could have freedom, and we are here enjoying this freedom.
Amen.
And taking it
Amen.
For granted.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all hear what I said. I said we're taking it for granted. But Jesus said, in order for you to remember me, I'm not going to leave it to chance. I'm going to ensure that I'm going to put something in place to remind those who call themselves Christian and remind them who I am.
Yeah.
So as often as you do this, he said, do this in remembrance of me.
Yeah.
There are two things that Jesus wants us to remember by him. There are really only two things that what people do that you want to remember by them anyway, and that is what they say and what they do.
Yeah.
Their words and their deeds. Their quotes and their actions. And when John was in prison, he wanted to know if Jesus was the one that should come. Y'all remember that passage in Matthew 11 chapter? And he sent his disciples to Jesus to query if he was the one. And when they got there, Jesus asked it this way. He said, go show John, Matthew 11 chapter 4, 5 verse. He said, go and show John again these things which you hear and you see.
Mm-hmm.
Go show him that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Go and show, go and tell John what you hear and see.
Yeah.
Church, it would be so nice as Christians if we could just be in a position that to say, don't worry, you want to know what Christianity is, just go and tell them what you hear, me say, and what I do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's the way it really should be, isn't that right?
Yeah.
We need, Jesus was in essence saying to John, tell John to make his decision about me based on what he hears, what I say, and what you see, what I do. People are what they say and they do.
Yeah. All right.
Did y'all hear what I said? People are what they say and they do. Both. I want to put both in because sometimes we're good at words and not so good at action.
Come on, come on, friend.
Yeah, I can say a lot of that. I'll write a lot of checks sometimes that my body can't cash.
Don't stay with me for a minute.
Remember what Jesus said is the first thing that he wants us to do. John, first chapter, why is this important? And the first verse said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, because not only is Jesus as good as his Word, Jesus is his Word. So it's important not only for it that we know to remember his Word just because he is his Word, but also he said, wait a minute, you're in the darkness. He said, well, thy Word is a lamp, in Psalm 119 and 105, the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Well, you need a lamp? He said, it'll keep you in the way. 119 and 11 said, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's important that we understand the importance of God's Word. And we need to keep his Word and remember his Word, because if we forget his Word, we might slip. Let me bear myself out. Hebrews 2 and 1 said, therefore we ought to give the more honest heed to the thing we have heard, at least at any time we should let them slip. Yeah. You know I see a lot of slippage around the house sometimes. Sometimes Sheila say something to me, mm-mm, and I'm halfway in the TV, and she say it, and then it slips. Because I don't do it. And she said, I told you. Y'all see the example?
Yeah.
The Word of God is here with us. It's not like we can't get it. It's not like it's hidden, but it's slipping.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is it slipping? Why is this hidden? Let me give you one. I'll just give you one example. And I'll just leave with you with this one. You think about this. Take this home with you. Love. Love one another. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yes, sir.
Why that keeps slipping?
My God. Tell it.
I mean, I'm not talking about in the world. I ain't talking about on your job. I'm not concerned about that right now. I'm just talking about in the church. Because if we can make sure that one doesn't slip in the church, then more people would want to come over here. Because that's slipping so much, and people slide in while you slipping, then you tripping, they tripping, and ain't nobody coming. So we need to give more honest heed to the thing we heard. Love. Want to know, how shall they know that you are my disciple?
That's right.
He said that you love one another. I know you sing your song. I know you spring your prayer. I know you want to teach me how to do that. But what I really want to concern about is how you relate to one another.
Yeah.
See, because what happens is when you leave out of here, someone's going to see how you behave. They're going to watch what you say.
Oh my God.
And they're going to watch what you do.
Yeah.
So Jesus said, now you got to watch, be careful. Don't let these words that I'm giving you slip. Now, what I love about the Lord is the Lord works this way. He doesn't allow us, he doesn't give us anything to do that he's unequipped us to do.
Yeah.
He's never given us a task. Now, most tasks he gives us is well beyond our ability. But he gives us what we need to be able to accomplish that he said to do. That way we can know that it's God and it's not about us.
That's
because
right.
If it was really about me and I did it myself, then I'd be celebrating Ricky. But it's not about me. It's about God. And I realize when God does it, it's so much bigger than me. I never could have done it myself. So I got to give credit to whom credit is due. God did it.
God did it.
So he gives us this task to love one another. He said, now look here. In Jeremiah 31 and 34, he said, I will put my law in the inward parts.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to leave it to chance. I'm going to put this on the inside of me.
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to leave it to chance. If I tell you, if I put it in, I got to love this, if I put it in the Bible, and it's just in the Bible, you might not pick that up.
That's right.
But nobody here cannot say that truthfully that they don't know who God is.
Amen.
Somewhere along the way you heard about him.
Yeah.
Somewhere you saw him, and some of you looked around and you wondered about how this all came to pass.
Yes, sir.
Somebody, let me back that. Let me first of all do a survey. Does anybody here not know who God is? All right, then I was right then. All right. Since we know, he said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to put this in the inward part. And then he said in John 16 chapter, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I go, I'll send it to you. Why is this important? He said, because when I give you the comforter, in John the 14th chapter, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things back to you. Remember, whatsoever I have said unto you. Isn't that lovely that he's not even leaving this to chance? He said, I'm going to, not only do I want you to remember what I said, but I'm going to condition you so that you can remember what I said when it's necessary.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear me?
Yes,
he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. He's going to bring all things back to you. There's no excuse.
Yeah,
I know y'all don't like to hear that part. There's no excuse for doing other than what God said, because he brings it back. Anybody ever sinned and it just slipped up on you? Don't answer that. That's a rhetorical question. But I know the answer is no. Most of it, the sin has a process that it goes through. It doesn't just happen. We just allow it to happen.
It's a process that
it goes through. And always, God always, I said he always, makes a way for us to escape.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't often take the escape.
Yeah.
We see the escape.
Yeah.
We don't
want
to escape. We just know the escape is there. And we ignore the escape.
Yeah.
And then we go on about it doing it. And then we go to God after we've done it.
Yes.
He said, but I'll bring all things to your remembrance.
Yeah.
You say hard times will come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, no surprising there, because Jesus already told it. He said, remember in John 2, the words I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his master.
Mm-hmm.
They persecuted me. They're going to persecute you.
Yeah. Right.
You remember that I told you that they're going to do this thing, so it's not like you. It's not like anything's happening to you that you should be surprised by.
No.
He said, but here's what I'm going to do for you. When you are brought before the governor's council in Matthew 10, he said, don't worry about it. Take no thought how what you shall speak.
Mm-hmm.
It shall be given you in that hour. He said, no, but I'm not going to leave you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to forsake you.
Yeah.
Do y'all understand how he's setting us up nicely for this?
Yeah.
If you can just remember what God said. There's time when I'm riding down the road, I'm getting ready to go to a difficult meeting or have a place, a difficult situation, and I'm riding down out of nowhere. Then a scripture comes to mind.
Yes,
some level of encouragement comes to mind. You ever had something you had to sort out of the city you have to make, and you put it before the Lord, and then all of a sudden you get that out of the way, they like to call it in business, that aha moment.
Yes.
You get aha. And all of a sudden it works itself. You know, it's like you see it clearer than you've ever seen it before. I've had moments in my life where I had these big decisions to make, and then God just came in and showed me. I hadn't even thinking about that. It wasn't even on my mind at the time. But then he opened up and I go, wait a minute.
Yes.
That's absolutely possible. I never saw it that way before.
Yeah.
Look at God.
Yeah.
Some of you sitting here today, whether you know it or not, you are there because of that aha moment.
Yeah.
It's under nothing but the grace of God. God allows you at that right time to bring it back to your remembrance. He gave it to you at the right time. And see, here's the challenge. Too often we want to take the credit ourselves. Because you know it's good to be brilliant. We love to be brilliant. And we serve a brilliant God. He said, you know, the wisest of man is just foolish with God. We serve that kind of God that he takes those little bit of things that we think are so complicated and he simplifies them. I love serving a God like that because he takes, I give him what I term difficult. And when he gives the answer back, it's so simple. And then it makes him look good. Y'all, I was going to say make me look good. Yeah, I'm not alone. Okay, all right. Remember not only what I said, but also remember what I did. Remember, memorial is something designed to keep remembrance alive. In the New Testament, the ordinance of the Lord's table, the communion, is called a remembering again.
Yeah.
And all these verses, the subject of is about worshiping God and being remembering him, and the people are to do it through worship.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something he wants to remember to worship God, but he's given us a worship process to remember him.
Yeah.
So in our prayers and our songs, he's saying, this is how I want you to remember me, and through your worship. So we all comment, he said, enter to his gate with thanksgiving, unto his courts with praise. God's people remembered him because, now I like to make this point too, God's people remembered him because God remembered them first. Did y'all hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, sometimes we sit around, we want somebody to do something for us, but we are not willing to do anything for anybody. You want a friend, but you're not friendly. You want to be remembered, but you can't remember nobody. You want stuff done for you, but you ain't doing nothing for nobody else. But good thing about the God that we serve, our God is always ahead of us.
Yeah.
So before we remembered him, he already remembered us. Let me remember myself. In Genesis, he said, in Genesis 8:1, God remembered Noah and every living thing in the town that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters. Y'all remember that story of Noah?
Yeah.
Noah didn't have to remember God. God remembered that he was in the ark.
Yeah.
And as a result of his memory, he cleared it up, dried up the land. In Genesis 19 chapter, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and Lot out of the midst of their overthrow, when the overthrow of the cities, and y'all remember that story, right?
Yeah.
God didn't just forget his people, God remembered his people.
Yeah.
And Exodus the second chapter, God heard the groaning and remembered the covenant of Abraham. Y'all remember how they were in Egypt and they were in slavery? They didn't have to remember God. God remembered his people, and he heard their groaning, and he remembered not them, but Abraham, Isaac, Isaac and Jacob. He remembered those saints. Some of y'all sitting on same time. It's not your time, but it's because your mama prayed and your daddy prayed and somebody prayed for me. He remembered us before we remembered him. I think that what God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes shall not perish. No, it wasn't because you were so good looking, and because you were so fine, and because you had all your stuff together. But he did it because he loved you, and he sent his son to save you. We were sinners deep in sin. While we were yet sinners, he said Christ died, not when we got ourselves together, but while we were. Now, I'm talking about what Jesus did. You don't have to wait and do it based on what you do, but remember what God did him. For you cannot sin. Put one more out there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he committed the light inside the dark. He shined it in our heart and gave it light to the knowledge and glory of God, the face of Jesus Christ. But he has the treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the equity of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. See, the Holy Ghost that's within you is on the inside of you. But you're not supposed to be bragging about yourself. It's all about God. But we are troubled on every side. This is what I like about God. When you have him on the inside, I went to the church one night, and my heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. What did he do here? Then when they finished that, he said, made me walk right. Made me walk right. Let me bear a part. There's trouble on every side. This is what he does. This is what he got a hold of. He said, in trouble, we're in trouble, but we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. He said, now, I like this part. Always bearing about in our body the dying of Jesus Christ, that his life may be made manifest. You need to always bear about in your body the dying of Jesus Christ, that his life may be made manifest. What am I saying? You got to remember Jesus. And I wasn't that you're going to be a servant of the Lord. Remember who he is. How are you going to be a disciple when you don't know who he is? How are you going to be a disciple when you don't know who he is? How are you going to be a Christian when you go down and don't know who he is? How are you going to be a holy roller or a saint when you don't know who he is? You got to know who he is and know what he did. And what did he do? He said, do this in remembrance of me. I don't care what you have to do. Tie a string around your finger. Write yourself a note. Tell somebody to mind you. Take a picture. Whatever you got to do, you got to remember Jesus. Now you got to remember, because you got to remember what Jesus did. He not came down to water two generations. Y'all remember that, right? Yes. Let me check with some people that may be able to tell you something. Noah said he was my ship. Abraham said he's my ram. Enoch says he's my chariot. Isaac said he's my father and God. Moses said I saw him in a burning bush. Israel said he's a freedom fighter. Gideon said he's a commander in chief. Joshua said he's a wall builder. Jeremiah said he's a wall builder, brother. Joshua said he's a wall destroyer. Samuel says he's a rock. He's a weary land. Jacob says he's a healer. Isaiah says he's king of kings and lord of lords. Jeremiah says he's a builder. He's a fire shut up in my bones. Ezekiel says he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I don't know what you are today. You need to get the door for yourself. Daniel says he's a lion tamer. Hosea says he's a god of hosts. Paul says he's a submarine. God didn't know God was a submarine. You get down under the water. I called him out of the belly of hell, and he heard me. He was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, raised from the dead. You don't hear what I'm talking about. He gave sight to the blind. He made the lame to walk. He had the dumb to talk. He healed the sick. He bound up brokenhearted. He preached to the poor. He set the captive free. He preached in the temple. I'm talking about what Jesus did. He cast out the money changer. He was marching from judgment hall to judgment hall. You know the story. He was beaten and scorned. But then he died. I'm so glad he died. I said, I'm so glad he died. But something happened when he died. Now here's the story. He said, remember me. Remember me. But when they put him in the tomb, here's what's interesting. We were not the first one to remember, but those who put him in the tomb, those responsible for him death, they were the first one to remember. I hear him say in Matthew 27, so we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, that after 3 days, he will rise again. We probably secured that stone around that grave. I said that the ones who didn't know him, they remembered what he said. You got to remember who he is. You want to be blessed today. I said, he said, remember me. But then a few days later, In just a couple of days, I hear Mary, you know the marriage, showed up at the tomb.
Yeah.
And they were seeking the living among the dead.
Yeah.
He said, then you remember what I said
when
I was with you. A few days later, I see the disciples. They understood not what he had said at first, but when he returned unto them, then they remembered. Some life changes when you remember who he is.
Yeah.
Then I hear him say, while they were out on the after Pentecost, the Holy Ghost began, they began to speak, and the Holy Ghost fell upon them and at the beginning. Then remember I, he said, that the word that the Lord has said, how that John indeed baptized with water, but he will be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to know who you are in Christ, if you want to experience your best in Christ, you've got to remember who he is.
Yeah.
It's good to remember the book, but it's better to remember the author.
Hallelujah.
I have not met Jesus for himself, but he was blind from his birth. And Jesus came by. And Jesus came by, and he touched a man that was blind from birth. And the man received the sight. He said, well, who was that did that? And where did he come from? I don't know all that. All I know is that. I don't know what the book says. You don't want to throw the book at me. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. I don't know how I did it. I just know I was blind, but now I see. You can have to know what the book says, but you need to know the author. Know him for yourself. I got to know him for myself. I remember how he picked me up and turned me around. I placed my feet on solid ground. I tell you, you got to know the author. You got to know him for yourself. You got to remember. Why is it important to remember Jesus? Because some of us are not remembering him. We get too caught up in the stuff and not related to Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't say remember the stuff.
Yeah.
People have stopped coming to church. People have given up on Christ because of the stuff that's going on in the church. Because they're confused with Jesus and the stuff people are doing around them. It's not unusual for people who call themselves Christian to get confused with the stuff and start doing stuff that's got nothing to do with Jesus. You remember those 12 boys that were with him? They called them disciples. They were hanging around with him all the time. They knew him better than anybody else. One day these little children came around. They were trying to get in to see Jesus, and the disciples started to block him. I hear Jesus suffer the little children. You've been with me this long. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And so sometimes people get caught up in the stuff. They get caught up with their title. I'm a nigga. I'm a preacher. I sing in the choir. And they start owning the title and not doing what God said. In the book of Revelation, he said, look, and I saw that there was no temple, but I saw God's people.
Yes.
Now, how do you see?
Yeah.
I saw 144,000. That's not enough. That's not enough. I know 144,000 veterans who knew God for themselves that went on before me. If that's all they got, I'm out of the number. But John said, I looked. He saw another number that no man could number. I feel all right now because he got my number. He said, these are they. Remember me. Stand to your feet if you're here.
Praise the Lord.
It's a simple request Jesus has. Remember me. And what I like about